Welcome to episode 344 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10, 10 Thrive. 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. What does the Bible say about women? Here are 10 passages of scripture that give us some answers to this question. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Both men and women were created in the image of God. Both were intended to have dominion over the earth and to be in close fellowship with their creator. Genesis 2 verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." After having gone through the various days of creation week declaring that everything was good, now for the first time, God sees something that is not good. The aloneness of man. God never intended for man to be alone, either in the marital or social sense. What is God's solution to the problem that he perceives? "I will make a helper for him, a helper fit for him. I'll make a helper who is just right for him. I'll make a helper comparable to him." The King James Version uses the term "help meet." This term literally means a helper suited to, worthy of, or corresponding to him. The man was incomplete without the woman. God instituted companionship and marriage in the Garden of Eden. Not only was the woman to be a helper, but also she was made comparable to the man. She should be considered and honored as such. A woman or wife cannot be regarded as a mere tool or worker, but as an equal partner in God's grace and an equal human being. Genesis 2, verses 22 to 23. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. God used Adam's own body to create Eve to forever remind him of their essential oneness. As Adam came to know Eve, he would see many ways that they were different, but he must never forget that they are essentially one and that they are made of the same substance. They are more alike than they are different. Yes, they are one. They are comparable. They are suited for each other, but they are not the same. Genesis 3 verse 16. To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." When Adam and Eve sinned, God did not strike them dead on the spot, as his holiness alone would have required. Nor did he say, "That's okay, don't worry about it," as his love may have allowed. Rather, God dealt with their sin as a serious matter. He imposed the penalty their sin required, but he interposed his grace so that the fallen couple could be restored to fellowship with him. There was both the curse and the covering for their sin. God allows us to suffer consequences for our sin, but also he provides salvation from sin's ultimate consequences. The penalties imposed by Adam and Eve affected not just them, but every person in history after them. All sin is like that. We never sin in isolation. Every sin done in secret affects others. The curse, as applied to the woman, involved two main areas. She would experience increased pain in childbearing, and she would be in a new relationship with her husband in which he is said to rule over her. One reason God may have increased a woman's pain in childbearing was to give us an object lesson of the pain which God would now endure in order to bring forth spiritual children. His own Son, the second person of the Trinity, would have to go to the cross and suffer not only the physical pain of the crucifixion, but also the indescribable agony of separation from the Father as our sin bearer. Some scholars suggest that the woman who usurped authority from her husband by eating the fruit is cursed with the inclination to dominate him, but he is ordained to rule over her. This alerts us to the inherent tendency of the fallen nature of each sex, of the woman to want to dominate her husband and of the man to dominate his wife. Both militate against the beautiful one-flesh relationship that existed before the fall. To mitigate against this, Paul will later call on wives to submit to their husbands and husbands to tenderly love their wives. Psalm 46, verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. God is with women always, just as he is with men. And even in the most difficult of times, he is there to support them and bring them strength for the new day. The idea that God can so empower a woman that she will not be moved, regardless of the circumstance, is such a beautiful promise. Proverbs 11, verse 16. A gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. Any woman who is compassionate in her life will be rewarded in heaven, while those who act in anger will be punished. Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. The woman of a house has tremendous power to make it a better or worse place. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 31 has lots of great lessons. We're only going to take a look at this one today. No matter what you look like or what worldly riches you have, a woman's commitment to the Lord is what truly matters in life. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 11 to 12. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. Men and women rely on each other. God made them equal partners in life. God made them with specific roles and responsibilities, and they should always respect each other. Galatians 3, verses 26 to 29. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs, according to promise. Again, in God's eyes, there is no difference in the value, in the worth, or in the destiny of males versus females. There we have it. 10 passages of scripture that answer the question, what does the Bible say about women in the Bible? We'll be adding to this list of scriptures in the weeks ahead and examining the lives and experiences of some specific women along the way. Father, thank you that you've made both men and women in your image and that you desire that we all be one in you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.